Get up for our kids just one more time. Come on, let's bring those lights up. Oh, man. I just want you to catch, okay, that's my daughter at the end there, and I just want you to catch that she really did know it, because at the end she says, but it's all about, I know y'all were laughing all hard, okay, and, but it's all about, come on, everybody say it with me, it's all about Jesus. That's right, it's all about Jesus. And, man, I don't know if hey, little kids, this is a little lesson for you, but parents and adults, we know this, that when you are young or you got some immaturities, when it's someone else's birthday and it's time to celebrate somebody else, it's really easy to think that it's all about you. And so inconveniences and all kinds of stuff, you kind of start to feel like it's like the day is ruined because I'm not getting my way. And I just want us to remember this Christmas season and tomorrow as we are opening Christmas presents and maybe even having a dinner, just hanging out with friends and family. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. Let's keep Jesus at the center of it. Well, before we get into the message, I do want to look into the camera and, like I always do, say a big hello to everybody that's joining us online. We know that there's a lot of you that wanted to be here, but we've gotten calls and emails and texts just about stuff going on and it's kept you from being in person with us. But just know that we believe that you're here with us in heart, and we're thinking about you and praying for you, and we love you, and we pray that God's presence, His peace, His joy would meet you right there where you are. We love you, and welcome to church with us. Hey, Revitalized family, can you help me just say a big Merry Christmas and hello to everybody joining us online? We love you very much. Well, we have been in this series, and we're wrapping it up, and don't worry, I'm not going to take too long, kids. As you're coloring and such, and you go on ahead and color and have fun. But we've been in this series called Good News. And really, it's been a series about overcoming the darkness that everybody faces, that we all see it. And I'm really excited about this one because it's all going to come together. And I believe that if you are in darkness, if you find yourself in a place of darkness today, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you that God's light will shine brighter than ever in your life. And before we actually go on with the message, I just want to make sure that everyone does have a candle, because we will conclude the service with those. And so if you did not get a candle when you came in, can you just raise your hand? And if you did, that means, all right, come on, let's get a candle over here. But if mostly did, so ushers, way to go. Everybody, can we give it up for all of our ushers? They're on it this morning. On it. Thank you. We appreciate you. Well, we've been actually looking at the Christmas story as we've been talking about overcoming the darkness. And as we've read through the Christmas story, we've actually been looking at the characters and seeing really a moment of darkness that they were in. And we actually saw God send messengers to them to talk to them about really overcoming the darkness, about what was coming on. And there's this phrase that we saw with three out of these four characters that we're going to look at and that we've looked at through the story. But there's a phrase that we hear with each of these characters, and it's do not be afraid or fear not. In this darkness that we've been talking about, really we see it all throughout the earth, but the darkness represents worry and stress and even things with our health, our finances, relational issues, things that are going on our job, and maybe with a family member or a friend, relationships that are all out of whack, or maybe our emotions. And the first characters that we actually looked at were the shepherds. Remember, they were out sitting on the hill at nighttime, and they were the third shifters. Any third shifters in the house? Come on, if you're a third shifter, can you just say, whoop, whoop? None of y'all, because, listen, and here's why, because the third shifters are asleep at home right now. We love you, third shifters. I know we got a couple of y'all. Y'all are so tired, you don't want to say anything right now. But they were the third shifters sitting out there, and really, I believe, and here's what we saw. We saw that really the shepherds represented that physical darkness, the physical part of our lives, maybe working a hard job or just having a hard time. Maybe it has to do with your finances, a financial situation or a health situation, or maybe it's the stuff that we see going on in the world, all the division, all the unrest, the economic unrest, wars and protests, just all the stuff, just instability. And the angels came to the shepherds and said, don't be afraid, because today your Savior's been born, right? And he said that the Savior came to bring on earth peace. And so no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what kind of darkness you find yourself in, that God's brought peace. The second character that we looked at, he actually didn't have any angels sent to him. And I think the reason was because he never really opened himself up. He wasn't really searching for God. In fact, he had a wrong mindset. And this character was King Herod. And the Bible says that King Herod, when he heard about Jesus being born, the Bible says that he was disturbed in his heart. And that word disturbed really means just a lack of calmness. It steals your calmness. It steals your peace. Like you're just anxious. And in fact, the Bible says that it wasn't just him that was disturbed. It said all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. They were all troubled. And we saw that even when we're in our emotional darkness, whether it be depression or fear or anxiety or worry, we see that when that happens, when that takes place, that it actually influences the people around us. And we can actually cause some darkness in other people to be depressed and discouraged or just full of worry and anxiety. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to be our peace. In fact, when Jesus went back to heaven, he said, don't worry, because there's another one like me that's coming, and he's the Holy Spirit, and he's going to comfort you. One of his roles, the Holy Spirit's role, is to bring comfort. And we learn that. And if you're in a spot of, in a place of discouragement, or you're feeling that emotional turmoil where you're just disturbed, you're feeling troubled in your heart or in your mind, regardless of the reason, the word and the good news for you is that peace has come for you. Amen. Light has come to enter into that darkness. And last week we talked about Joseph. And we looked at Joseph, and really Joseph's an interesting one, because He, I believe, shows and represents relational darkness. You know, Joseph, we looked at it, just imagine, in love with somebody, in a relationship with somebody, committed, and then all of a sudden, it seems like someone's not committed to you. It seems like you've been betrayed. It seems like something has happened. I think we all face that to one degree or another in relationships, where we just feel like something's out of whack, whether it be something that someone said or didn't say. They called or didn't call. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It just kind of gets you uneasy relationally. And God is the restorer of relationships. Sometimes it feels like some relationships are too far gone. Like, we want that relationship back, but there's been some words that have been said, things that have been done maybe many years, maybe even for some of us decades, of no relationship, no fellowship. But the Bible says, in 2 Samuel, that God makes a way for even the banished to come back home. There's no relationship too broken. There's no relationship too undone that God can't bring restoration and redeem those relationships. And if you're dealing with that, maybe this Christmas season, I know for a lot of people that you're sitting around a table or opening presents, or you don't receive that phone call that you used to. Or someone has said, you're out of my life. Maybe even for you, it's a marriage that's failed and been broken. Let me just tell you, God wants to mend your heart. God wants to make things better than new. We talked about this word restoration over these last few weeks. That restoration doesn't just make things okay, but it makes them better than good. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to restore you. And today we're going to wrap our time up and just over the next few minutes, and we're actually going to look at this last character, and it's the mother of Jesus, Mary. And I believe that Mary represents spiritual darkness in our life. Things that are just going on in our life, and maybe an impossible situation that we're facing. We don't know how we're actually going to overcome that impossible situation, or God speaks a promise to us, and we just don't know how it's actually going to take place. And Mary was struggling. She was working through it, just like I think all of us do when we're in those moments. Can I get an amen, somebody? I just want you to see the first words that the angel spoke to her as he appeared to her and about to share with her some good news about her life. And it says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. It says, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asks the angel, and I think we all ask the same question, but how can this happen? I am a, and you fill in that blank. For her, it was, I'm a virgin. There's no way that this was supposed to be able to happen. I haven't done what you're supposed to do to be able to get pregnant. But maybe for you, God says, no, I'm going to heal that sickness that they said is incurable. I'm going to bring you out of that financial hole that you're in. I'm going to mend that relationship. I'm going to bring that promotion. I'm going to take you into something. Maybe you've heard some words that just seem too good to be true for your life. And you would say the same thing that Mary said. But how can this happen? You know what family I come from. You know what neighborhood I live in. You know my background. You know the things I've done or not done. You know how old I am. You know how young I am. You know how dark I am. You know how light I am, white I am. You know my gender. Anybody know? You guys, you catching? There's all kinds of physical and natural things that would say, that's too good to be true. And that's where Mary was. Or maybe, for some of us, it's some sin. Like, you know that God loves you. Here, you're in church, and you hear all the time, God loves you, and you say, yeah, but he can't love me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the things that have happened in my life. How can he save me? How can he forgive me? And I think we need to do what Mary did, because just a few verses later, Mary overcomes her doubts. She overcomes her fear. She overcomes her struggle. She was in fear. Like her faith was struggling. And maybe your faith is struggling. And here's what happens when our faith struggles, our lives struggle. And when our lives struggle, it's hard to hear anything good. Like somebody can be bringing you a word of encouragement right now, and I can't hear it because my life is struggling too much. It's almost as though the darkness is so strong around you that you're just fixated on the darkness instead of the word. Mary did something that I think would be good for all of us to do, and I would encourage all of us to do this in just a little bit here. I want you to see what she says in verse 38. Says Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. In that moment, she overcame that doubt. She overcame that spiritual darkness. In fact, can we all just say that same thing to God right now that Mary said? Let's just say it right now. Say, may everything you have said about me come true. Man, I know the feeling. I know the feeling of being weighed down with sin. See, my own life, just about 20, really not just, I was thinking about it this week, 20 years ago, I remember sitting in church, third row, in the middle of that sanctuary in Anaheim, California, and I heard my pastor at the time speaking similar words like this, about freedom, forgiveness. And I knew where I was. You know how Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am? That's how I saw myself. I was a wretch. I saw myself as just a wretched man. And I remember sitting there and I thought, man, God, I know you love me. I know what he's saying is true. I see it in the Bible. I see it in your word. I know you want to forgive me. I know you, Jesus, I already know you came. In fact, I'd already given my life to God. But I was sitting there bound up with addictions, with discouragement, battling depression, just feeling like I was unworthy, like I had gone too far to actually ever be used by God, to ever get out of my situation. And I remember sitting right there in that row, and during the praying time, I decided to be honest with God. And I think that's partly where it starts. When we get honest with God and honest with ourselves. And I sat there and I said, God, I want to be free. I don't want to keep doing this stuff. I want to believe that you do have great things for me. I want to believe that you do have a call on my life. I want to believe that my past will not define my future. I want to believe it. But I'm just telling you, God, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing. And I just can't believe that I can do this. And so my next words were similar to Mary. I just said, God, I need you to free me. I need you to pull me out of this. And I need you to speak. I need you to do the work in my life because I can't do it. And I would imagine there's probably some of us that are like that. That's what I would encourage you to do today. Is to stop thinking about yourself and your limitations. Start thinking of God and His possibilities. See, God sees your darkness and He sees your fear and He wants to bring light into your life. You know, the very first words out of God's mouth in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 was this. The Bible says that it was dark and it was void. In other words, the earth was dark, absolute darkness, and there was nothing in it. It was empty. And the very first words out of God's mouth was, "Let there be light." And the Bible says, and there was light. That word light there in the Greek literally means to permit to enter in. And so what God was literally saying, He was actually speaking to the darkness, and He spoke to the darkness, and He said, permit the light in. And the light came in. And then about 4,000 years later, Jesus is on the earth. Jesus is on the scene. And I just want you to listen to what Jesus said about 4,000 years later. John chapter 12, verse 46, He said this, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me," in other words, all that permit me in, "will no longer remain in the dark." This right here is the secret to overcoming the darkness. We have to permit the light of God to enter it. And when we do, when we open up our lives, when we say, "God, I'm going to let your light into every dark part of my life. I'm going to let you into that darkest part that I haven't let anyone else in. I've never even let your light in that area." This is what happened. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, "For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." When we open up our hearts and our life to God, the Bible says, Revelation says it like this. Jesus is speaking to the churches and He says, "Behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And whoever will open or permit me in, I'll come in. And I'll sup with you. I'll commune with you." In other words, we'll have fellowship. And the light of the world that came to overcome the darkness will overcome any and all darkness that you allow Him to. Anybody want that kind of light in their life? I know I do. So it's time for us to go all in and be people of faith, be a person of faith, and I think say the same words that Mary said. "Let everything that you've said about me come true." Come on, can we just say that one more time? Come on. "Let everything that you say about me come true." I just want us to respond to God right now. Can we do that? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you're here today and you know you got some darkness that you're working through, it's hovering over you, it's on you. And today you know that it's time for you to let the light in. I just want you to speak to God. Those dark areas, whether it be in relationships, or sickness, or finances, or struggles on your job or school, your families, or maybe in your emotions. Stressed, anxious, just hand it over to Him. In fact, what I sense in my spirit right now, the Lord's saying same thing He said in the gospel, which is, if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're burnt out, come to me and exchange your weariness. I'll say it like this, exchange your darkness for my light. Let my light enter into your life right now. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, never given Him control of those dark areas, maybe you're like how I was decades ago, saying, "Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins. just right where you are, you can just open up your heart. Just say, God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord. Help me to live this life the way that you want me to. As we take, just take that time to reflect and really open our lives up to God, I want us to sing this song, and then we're gonna light some candles. I just want us to sing this song and think about the words that we're singing, because Jesus has come into this world. Just like at the very beginning, God said, let there be light. It hasn't stopped shining.